Ronaldo! Cecco, ma vattene! Ma dai! Dai, che non c'era il manco più il portiere! Butti la palla fuori! Ma dai! Partiene! Vedi che tiro che ha fatto! Palla alle stelle! È arrivata a Trieste il pallone!
Hello and welcome to Roma Happens podcast episode. That lasted all of 2 seconds. 13.
Start over.
Hello, welcome to Roma Happens 13. And this is the one that where we beat the best Europa League team and then we lost to the worst Champions League team or something, who just got destroyed by PSV 6-2 a couple days ago. For those who didn't know, PSV stands for Philips Sportverein or something like that. I'm not going to try to pronounce it in Dutch. Apologies to our Dutch viewers. We had some complaints about my pronunciation of their language. If you don't like it, get a better language. And or don't listen to us. And you just watched the replay today. What do you have to say? Oh, yeah. Wait, I'm Greaves. You're Char. Let's go. What do you have to say?
Excuse
me.
Jeez, Morty, we're doing a podcast. I'm Podcast Rick.
Well, maybe then went according to the complete opposite of how I thought it was going to go. I thought that Midtjylland was going to be in control. And it seemed Roma was pretty in control.
You said Roma Midtjylland 0-3. Did not go that way.
Yeah, no, it didn't. But it was what, 2-1?
Yeah, it was 2-1. So
yeah, so.
And then so, you
yeah, it went. Today. Yeah, I watched Napoli today. That sucked. Holy crap.
I was at work watching a 3.5-hour long presentation on a fucking whatever it was recording. And so it wasn't live, so I couldn't really ask any questions. It was so fucking boring. And it's stuff that I absolutely must know. So I don't know how people do this on a daily basis. However, when the presentation was ending, after 3.5 hours of talking nonstop about stuff that I do not understand, dude goes, "Does anybody have any questions?" And I was like, "I have a question." And I was like, "Oh shit, why am I unmuting my microphone? I'm not on a call." Sorry, call. Awful. And then you start texting me. "I cannot do this." I'm like, "Where did you go? How deep are you?" And they're like, "30 minutes in, I cannot do this anymore. Not gonna watch the second half. Fuck, this is horrible." It's like, yeah, that's exactly it. I don't know.
Yeah, and just like the rest of it, I told you, watching Roma against top teams this year has been a lesson in futility, because it's, like I said, it's the same present but different wrapping. So you can dress it up as Gasperini ball, Mourinho ball, Fonseca ball, whatever it is. It's the same present of the same 4 to 5 people. I'll play football when I want to. And they have no interest in showing up in the big games.
I wouldn't really define it as I'll play when I want to. I would define it more of as... it's very similar, but it's more like me do something, you do something. It's like, that's our
team. Yeah, no, that's more accurate. It's, oh, I thought somebody was behind me to cover. That's what you get for thinking. So.
Don't think, run.
Yeah, just do it. Do it like you're the only person. It's 1-on-11. Just do it. But the Napoli game was just absolutely pain in the nuts to finish. It was a test of my patience. And I really regret doing it, because I was supposed to do it live and just watch it live. And I ended up falling asleep having had 1 hour of sleep. I woke up at 7 the day before. Stayed up the whole day accidentally. Went to work at night and stayed up all night to do work. And then it was 7 a.m. and I was still doing work. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll get out of work a little early, 2 hours early, and be able to get to the hotel and watch some Roma after 2 hour nap. And completely slept till 5. So
good.
Wasn't able
you
to watch.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You missing out on the game was way better than you not missing out, because sleep is important. Watching Roma in big games is not. I don't know why people still go to Olympico. It's like, if you want some entertainment, don't go when we're facing a big team. Just don't. You know what's going to happen. We're going to start Cristante and Pellegrini. I'm sorry, I'm eating pancakes. American pancakes.
It's okay. I just had a cafe y alfa jore. So.
The fuck is that?
But alfa jore, it's like kind of like a pastry. They're really delicious. It's like a pastry wrapped in chocolate. Argentine exclusive. Argentine exclusive DLC.
How do you find it in the middle of buttfuck nowhere in New England?
There's actually there's a few Argentine empanada. It's a chain. It's called Che Empanada. Shout out Che. Found them in Worcester, Massachusetts, and they had homemade alfa jores. And it was funny because I ordered them on DoorDash. I was like, oh, I'll get some empanadas. They had a good deal on empanadas. And they had, you're not going to find it in Concord. The only thing you're going to find in Concord is a restaurant called Helen's Diner. Freaking awesome. But, so I order some empanadas. I see they have homemade alfa jores. So I click on it. TripAdvisor one. So... oh, yeah, that one, too. Really good. So I used to go there all the time when I was doing aviation school.
Queens? No.
They had aviation school. They had a really awesome omelet that I would get and get a cup of coffee and go back to school. So, yeah, that was freaking awesome. But anyway, alfa jores. So they said homemade alfa jores. And I ordered a few. And the main supplier of alfa jores in Argentina is a company called Havana. And they had, and I get my empanadas. Empanadas are amazing. And I see my alfa jores, they have Havana wrappers. I was like, those are not homemade. So I complained. I was like, you guys gypped me. You said homemade alfa jores. These are Havana. They're like, well, how do you know about Havana? I was like, you think you're the only people who go to Argentina. Guess what? So
do I.
Yeah, it's like, I'm like the one gringo who's been. So had so they're like, yeah, so I got a refund because I complained, which is nice. Wasn't expecting that. Jesus. But anyway, Roma. Yeah, Roma. Like, maybe Sule knows what alfa jores is.
Probably. Did you solve the Chiesa di Totti riddle?
There's a Chiesa di Totti riddle?
Yeah, Totti Tuesday. It's like a riddle.
Totti Tuesday. Let's see how bad I am at Totti Tuesday.
Big recommendation to anybody who wants to do some nice, fun riddles. I got it in after third clue, so that's my fourth try. No, third. Fourth attempt was correct. You might hear some singing in the back. I swear it's not my inner voice. It's my kid. So, Mitchell on game. Two things to point out. LA now with first goal. Awesome. Good job. Fantastic. LA El Shaarawy was really good when he came on. It was the classic Elsha moment of just like, this dude's not very good. And then like, he's just wrecking chaos. I don't know, just everywhere on the pitch, pushing the ball, shooting from all the positions, just fucking awesome. Bailey's first assist, if I'm not mistaken, to LA Maui. And on the other side, they had the guy, Mbabu, I think it's called. I was like, we need to get this fucking guy. This is the best right back I've ever seen in a long time, or left back, something, I don't know, some fullback. we need to fucking get this dude. He would be awesome for Wesley or Rensch or like anyone or Angelino on the left. Like, it doesn't matter. Just get this guy. He's awesome. I think he was left back. And then I looked him up. He's 30. 30 years old. Like, no, we're not getting him. And the worst thing is, like, when I looked him up in Transfermarkt, it was like, Roma is rumored to be in the running for, I forgot his name, Kevin, maybe? Babu. And looked at when it was. It was like 2017 or something when he was at Wolfsburg. Like, fuck. Yeah, this was our dude. This was our dude once upon a time. And, yeah.
It was really entertaining to watch Mbabu versus Wesley for the majority of the match until Wesley finally got switched over to the right side. But they were going back and forth. It felt like Mbabu got the better of Wesley, but like Wesley, I think, needs a break. Dude's been playing the Brazilian league and then went right into Italian Serie A, so yeah. Hasn't had a break at all.
In a long time.
Yeah, no, he's dude just needs playing to 90 minutes every sit game. Down. Yeah, he's playing like the whole time. It's like, dude, chill. Freaking you know beast, chill out.
It reminds me of when Jose was just playing, who was it in his first year? Like Spinazzola or Kolarov, I think, who were like just playing nonstop every single game, 90 minutes a game, because that was the only thing that Jose had that resembled any sort of threat. And it's like, Gasperini cannot bench him for Divine Wrench or Simicas because he's like, how do we attack without Wesley? Like, this is the only thing we have. Which is kind of emblematic of issues that I guess we'll mention more. Francolino is really good. Rumored to be joining Roma in January, potentially, maybe, perhaps.
For triple the price that we were trying to get him for at the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, because just... I guess Midtjylland said, oh, yeah, Romo's in under Francolino earlier this year. The price tag has obviously gone way up. So,
yeah.
Good job, Roma, doing Roma things and not being able to get the deal sealed quickly.
We would have turned him into a potato. It's fine. So,
shout out, potato.
Good. Hi, potato. He's on Midtjylland for now. Probably not going to be staying there past this winter. Yeah, that's it. He just looked like glass. He looked like his decision making was really good. His passes were awesome. He was just being creative. Really good player to have. If we can manage to snag him from Midtjylland, it'd be fucking awesome. We can give them Cristante, Pellegrini, Mancini for free, and Kone probably.
And Midtjylland would get relegated to second division.
I mean, Midtjylland's already like sixth in the Danish league, which is like, I don't know, probably bottom two. I'm just kidding. There's like 14 teams or 12 teams, I don't know, in the Danish league, so it's not doing good. So I don't think their hopes for this season are very good, so they probably want to sell while the value is high.
They should have like a Nordic Super League. Like Midtjylland and Malmo and Bodo Glimt. I think Viking just won their first championship in 34 years.
I'm pretty sure they're in
the... Hammurabi.
If you want to... Hammurabi. I'm pretty sure if you want to pronounce Viking football club's name properly, it's Viking. So...
You could throw an IKEA in there and we could get the, you know, have a nice, like, Super League
IKEA
of... of huh?
IKEA is Swedish. This is
yeah. Oh, that would be a Nordic. I said Nordic. I said a Nordic league, like a Nordic Super League.
They beat fair. They beat. You know what I hate when I'm re-listening to us, and I'm like, I get what you're saying, and I acknowledge it in my head, but I don't say anything on the podcast, and it just sounds like I genuinely don't give a fuck what you're saying, and I'm in my head, I'm like, oh, okay, makes sense. But wait, what was I saying? And then I just move on with my point. So, sorry for that. Viking beat Bodo Glimt by 1 point. Nice. And of course, Rosenborg ended the season on a 6-0. Perfect. So, wait, they won the first title in 34 years. Meanwhile, in Sweden, Mjällby, a town of like 200 ants, and four citizens have won their first title ever. So,
nice.
Yeah, they have some fish or something. I'm pretty sure that's one of those towns where, like, the suburb is where you go to fish, and the suburb is bigger than the city itself. So, kind of like Jönköping in Sweden, where, like, they have a suburb called, oh my god, what's it called? I've lived there. How am I? Oh my god. Am I blanking on this? I'm blanking on this. So, it doesn't
matter. Bitch.
So, maybe it's not a bad idea to create a Scandinavian league. I'm pretty sure they talked about it and they were just like, nah.
Not that. I think that'd be more fun. Scandinavian Super League.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. Who's Kvarnan?
Drew Real Madrid and Barcelona and whatever playing in Miami. Just like Nordic, the Scandinavian teams are just like, you know what would be a good idea? Getting away from all these freaking people.
Yeah. Huskvarna is the suburb of Jönköping in Sweden, and Huskvarna is kind of bigger than the like downtown of Jönköping. Like, if you include all the nearby villages, then yeah, it's a bigger city. But anyway, I think that's enough about Midtjylland. We'd beat the best team in the Europa League. Supposedly, I'm pretty sure they're gonna start crashing. So whatever, who cares? We are now 15th, I think, and we're like one win away from not having to play through the qualifiers, which is
one
nice
for once.
Match. Well, I honestly still don't care. It's Wesley will still play, so more Roma, you know, more Roma for us. I want to see Roma disappoint. And then on to Napoli. So we had some pretty high hopes for Napoli. I've had people saying, emailing the podcast. Wait, were they emailing the podcast, emailing me? Because they were writing on my, I guess, podcast. I think, whatever. Lots of hopefuls. Lots of people saying, like, dude, I feel strangely positive going into this game. And I'm, like, trying not to answer with, oh, you fucking retard. No offense to those people. It's like, how many times?
That you just made up.
How many times? No, this was like four people emailed me. Three of them said, I feel strangely positive about the upcoming Napoli game. And one guy was like, we're going to lose. Shout out Flesmas. That is the realest person alive. I don't know. Yeah, those people are just like, I feel positive. It's going to be great. It's going to be good. Awesome. And I was like, no. Why do you feel positive?
If you feel strangely positive about Roma playing Napoli, then you should probably seek medical treatment for the hallucinogenic that you just took.
We also fell for that. And then
I
don't know how you felt. I'm talking royal we, okay? I fell for it, but like we, because I'm the host of the podcast, so you know, get in line. I was like, I don't know. I can see us winning. I can definitely see how we kind of stymie Napoli and slug it out and we somehow get a goal and surprise them and Mancini's heroics. I've seen us beat Juventus that way when we're like, we're not really that terrible, I guess. We're kind of hanging on. Sevilla is amazing. Defense is kind of getting there. And then Mancini scores a wonder goal and we're like, holy shit, we're going to do it. And then I was like getting ready, getting my speeches ready of, well, we beat the struggling Napoli, they're about to fire Conte, half their team is gone, they're all injured, like, you know, yeah, we beat them, but like, come on, we shouldn't be celebrating yet, like, we still lost Inter Milan, this might have been a fluke. I was getting fucking all of those ready, and then no, the other side was like, I can definitely see how it's Roma, how every team who plays Roma is like, we're going through the worst crisis of our lives and of our careers, but we're playing Roma, so let's win this first, and then we'll have issues later. So that happened. Exactly that happened. Kevin De Bruyne injured, Scott McTominay kind of injured.
Lukaku injured.
Lukaku injured, Højlund. No, Højlund was playing, but he was playing injured. And I forget who. Oh, Zambongisa injured, and without two of their best players, they still, two out of three of their best players, without three of their four best players. And I guess Spinazzola is also injured. So without four of five of those best players, they
without their starting 11.
Without half their starting 11, they still fucking destroyed us. We had no midfield. What the fuck was that? Where was our midfield? Kone started the game fucking walking. The first minute, he was walking. Don't watch replay. You don't want to get a fucking heart attack. Kone started the game against reigning champions by fucking walking. What?
There was a moment in the 26th minute. This is where my bullshit meter was at the point I was about to turn it off. So Kone runs up to a Napoli player. And the Napoli player passes away, so he just stands there, and they pass back to him, and he's within arm's reach of the guy, and he just is like, whoa, he's got the ball. Stands there. Just stands there. And has to have somebody else come up and mark the player. I'm like, what are you freaking doing? You're right there. And it was just absolutely shocking as to what was going on. I'm like, why... why are you out there? There are people I would rather watch Pasili pick up a double yellow trying to make something happen than watch Kone just stand there as the ball is being passed to the player he's supposed to be marking. It was absolutely atrocious, and I have no idea, like
I'm why surprised is that he... you noticed this in the fifth minute. I've noticed that 63 seconds in, where a Napoli player has the ball, Kone slowly jogs at him, he passes the ball to somebody who was like slightly to the side of Kone. Kone just like stands, turns around like 180 and just watches the play, or like at best slowly jogs as if he's gonna get involved in a Napoli counterattack. And it's like, can you at least pretend to care? Like, why are you playing? Just take yourself out if you don't want to play. And yeah, I watched the replay, and I think yesterday, that was the worst thing I could have done to myself. Just watching a player who clearly does not want to be there. And then the peak moment was when we were making the first subs, and Kone just like starts walking to the line, and he looks up and is like, oh, I guess it's not me. And he just like turns around and like runs away slowly. And it was like, really? You didn't even bother to look if you were coming off. You just knew it's you. Why did you know it's you? Is it because you didn't want to play? Like, what player wants to leave a game that you're playing against your biggest rival? And it's like, not a biggest, our biggest rival is Lazio historically, but right now, your biggest rival is the champion. The reigning champion that you're battling on the first fucking spot in the table. And you don't want to play that game. And you're called our best player and our most expensive player. Transfer market has you at 50 million euros. And I don't get it. Because Wayne will say things like, all of our team sucks except Kone, who's fantastic. What? How? What do you see in Kone that's fantastic? I don't get it. The effort is atrocious and disgusting. I absolutely, absolutely hate watching Kone because his effort, his reading of the game, his intelligence or intellect or vision or even desire to play is just negative. I don't know.
I don't remember if it was ahead of that timestamp or behind that timestamp, but Kone in the attack, they pass the ball to him and he tries a back heel pass to somebody. It just gets, it wasn't even in the remote general vicinity.
Yeah, I remember.
I'm like, what are you doing? There's nobody there. You didn't even see anybody like do a run that you could pick them out on the backheel pass, you know, as a through ball or anything. You just, fuck it. Somebody's got to be there. I'm like, what are you doing? There's people ahead of you that you can see, or, you know, try and hold the ball or something, or even a back pass to our defenders to go restart. But it's like, what are you doing?
So, do you have any excuses for him? Do you have like anything that could have happened? So he just surrendered? I mean,
in case of emergency, Roma... yeah, middle of the flag.
Okay, is that for Roma's playing in white jerseys most of the year? Chocolate. So. The only explanation I have is...
Oh, wait, I have one.
Yeah, go.
But I am lit tired.
What?
Well, I have an app. Zed fire the missiles.
Oh my god. good memes. So, I was going to say the only thing I have about Kona is that a couple of months ago I was saying that he's extremely frustrated with Pellegrini and Cristante, constantly talking to them or yelling at them or getting pissed off at them for ruining possessions, for passing, for making wrong choices and stuff like that. Everything that we criticized him for, Kona was just like, can you fucking play better? And maybe Kona was just like, all right, whatever, these people are not playing well and coach won't sub them off, so fuck it, I don't give a shit anymore. Which, look, I can understand that, but it is absolutely inexcusable to quit on your team. You, like, everybody's putting an effort. Is Celik is a chump, Sola is a chump, Svilari is also a chump, and Dika is also a chump. All of these people are fucking chumps for putting in effort. Wesley is killing himself to play. So all these players are fucking absolute fucking chumps because they're not as smart as you to figure out that we have a problem in our team called Zone 47. You figured it out, and therefore you're not going to try. That is quitting in your team, and that to me, I don't care how talented you are, you can get the fuck off the team. I said the same for Mancini, said the same for Cristante, said the same for Pellegrini. Cristante at least puts in the maximum effort, which is basically the same level of a toddler putting in maximum effort. Fuck it, he's not a good player, whatever. But he's putting an effort. Pellegrini starts the season, starts the camp by selecting a nose surgery. So, yeah, he's clearly putting an effort to not give a fuck. He can leave the team. Last year, Mancini was not giving a fuck. Now, this year, same thing. Mancini does not care. Same with Kone. So, Mancini,
every
Pellegrini,
time I
and
see
Kone
Sorry. Every time I see Mancini, it's always him complaining. Never. I don't really see any defensive contributions. For example, in the Napoli match.
Yeah.
First half, forget what time. But they got a shot off. And he's like, I'll try and head it. Well, his head got in the way of Svilar saying it, and fortunately, Svilar was able to get a hand on it, but he was fully expecting Mancini to, like, deflect it for an own goal, because there was no chance of him being able to clear it. But, like, dude, all you're doing is getting in the way. And then the rest of it is him just antagonizing players. We saw it. He blew a kiss to one of the Midtjylland players, grabbed Herling's ass. It's like, what are you doing? All you're doing is just antagonizing. There's no defensive effort from you. Every time I see you, it's just antics. It's really, really annoying.
Never.
I'd like to see another center back in the winter mercato, or give Hilardi more chance, because he was doing really good in the Midtjylland game. I think he should have got MVP man of the match, because he put in a shift.
I do have to tell you, it's Ghilardi, because GH together in Italian is like hard G, whereas G before a vowel usually turns into G. So instead of like G, it turns into G. Like Giacomo, for example, it's J-I-A, so it's G. Whereas Ghilardi has an H, therefore it's G. Make sense? Speaking of which, Italian language doesn't have a hard G, which makes it the least racist language in the world. They just turned everything into an H. And then they also, for other purposes, they added the CH, which they also pronounce as H. So you have H and you have H for H and CH. And then there is no G in the language. What the fuck is wrong? So anyway, was it a foul on Kone or not before Napoli scored? Because we're about to watch the sequence and I want your opinion before we do.
I'm going to say no foul. I'm going to go with the refs.
It's somehow expected of you. It's not like you're a doomer. It's not like you're like, Roma, shit, I'm just going to criticize. You're kind of a wet blanket. You're like Adam Himmelsbach, a reporter for the Celtics, who, like, every single time there's like a rumor that Celtics are about to do something exciting, Adam Himmelsbach comes on Twitter and just goes like, yeah, it's not happening. There's no economical chance it happens. Brad Stevens doesn't like this player. Danny Ainge will not trade for him. Yeah, it's not happening. It's like, but it's the Nathan Fillion meme of just like, I, you know, whatever.
No, it's the fact of the matter is I'm not going to rely on should this have been a foul or should this have not been a foul. The referee gets the final decision and it's not up to me to make that call. So I'm going to say no, because what's it going to do to complain? The match is already over. We're already fourth on the table. It doesn't matter. So I'm not gonna give my opinion on it after the fact.
Defender tackles, gets the ball and gets Kone as well. First he got the ball. It was a clear tackle on the ball. So Kone is on the pitch, doesn't want to stand up, doesn't really want to play, exercising once again his right of the, I don't know, 17th amendment to not play because he's number 17. And then we have Mancini, who is just kind of like, oh look, I'm gonna sprint, oh shit, I'm sprinting, don't score before I get there, ah fuck it, and then they score. That's our defender. And then Cristante is going to yell at somebody at the referee probably.
Run that by me one more time. I want to see that in slow motion.
You do?
Yeah,
I don't want to play in slow motion, so I'm lazy. So the problem is, if we're going to go into excuses, and this is what I love, everybody's talking about the referee. This is deeply ingrained into Roma fan psyche because of Jose Mourinho. In 2.5 years, he did immeasurable damage, because it used to be like, ah, oh, this referee fucking hates us, whatever. Now, dude, Devin Irish is just so high. Now it's, ah, the referees obviously hate us. He got the ball first before the tackle. The referee obviously hates us. He's working against us. If the referee changes one decision, we are in the game and it would have been fine. And this is what happened in the Jose era. It's like the whole game hinges on this one refereeing decision. How about not? How about we don't make it hinge on one, that just one play? How about we create anything? Because we can also say, if only Roma created one chance in a game, maybe we could have scored. But guess what? We didn't. This is why teams create more than one chance. Because the best strikers in the world will miss one chance a game. The best strikers in the world score at a rate of like maybe 38%. Maybe if you're like top three. Most strikers and most forwards are scoring at a rate of like 0.3, which is like once in three chances they will score the goal. And we're like, oh, we had one play where the referee fucked us and we lost the ball. And then we did nothing the rest of the game. That was Jose era. And now, four coaches later, probably 50 starters later, we're still doing the exact same thing of like, oh, yeah, we did nothing. We had one chance and the referee screwed us. Like, whose fault is that? And the referee didn't screw us. The guy just got the ball. So we created absolutely nothing in this game. Once again, going for the stupid, I don't know, dumb tactics of just play zone 47 is going to work this time. This
zone
time,
47 and a route like, one right to the striker that you're not even going to try and support. You're just going to hoof it up to him. They already have two people on him. Evan Ferguson absolutely locked down. It's like, what the heck are you guys doing? Invest in the midfield, try and play through the midfield and get it into the box, and then have your both of your poacher style strikers go poach some goals. Hoofing it up there isn't going to do shit. There was a statistic. It was like, it was 38 minutes in. Napoli, 215 completed passes, Roma 85. It was just hoof it up, and then Ferguson would turn the ball over, or whoever's shot it upfield absolutely whiffed on Ferguson, and it went right to a Napoli defender, and they just started their attack all over again. It was absolutely maddening. It's like, well, we've tried nothing and we're all out of ideas.
I love when you watch replays just before we watch the game. I was fired up. Now you get my pain. I wish people would start watching Roma games more. Like, I wish you would just sit down after the game is over, after you see the result, and then watch the fucking replay. Because that way, instead of just going like, oh my god, do better, come on, be better, okay, shoot, no, score. Instead of that, you could just be like, yeah, they're not going to score now, let me see what happened. And then you can finally actually see what I'm seeing, which is half our players don't want to fucking play. They're horrible. And they can play better. Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, we've watched them. We've watched people play better. And they go pull this shit. It's like, Why do you guys have to just collectively brain fart at the exact same time? But
so
once again, I love the ones I love is the other ones I like are the people, oh, I didn't watch the game, but the stat line looked, you know, like we were in possession. I hate that. Why the stats don't show the whole game. The score line shows the whole game. We lost.
Very little things, because the stats will measure some dumb, irrelevant things. And I've already explained that Kona was apparently one of our best players, which he absolutely was not. Like, Sola was our worst player because, he was isolated. He was, like, trying to find some shots because he missed two shots. Like, that's the only two shots we had in the game. Ferguson, our second worst player, so horrible. What was he supposed to do? Like, what would have made him better? Did he misplace passes? Did he lose the ball? No, he just didn't have the ball.
There's this nice thing I found on FUTMob where they have the momentum, and it was all Napoli all the time up until the 65th minute, and then it was Roma, and they still couldn't generate anything. So it's like Napoli was playing like, we're injured, but we'll still somehow get a result. And Roma's like, oh, geez, how do I screw this up? So
Napoli play with confidence and we don't. And I feel like that is the story. It's like, if you look at Pellegrini and Cristante's eyes, you see fear. And you see hope that the game won't be too hard. That is kind of why, like, that is why I started turning against them in Jose Mourinho's second season. Because I remember distinctly thinking, I only see fear in these two, and every time we play somebody big, you see Pellegrini having the exact same look of Jacuí from the movie Travelers, or sorry, Le Visiteurs, the French movie with Jean Reno and Christian Clavier, and yeah, I don't know, I it's been omnipresent every single time we played a big team. I can't do this anymore. This is the fourth season of us making a podcast to whine about Cristante and Pellegrini. Perle Tanticini. And it's still going. And Gasperini is yet another coach who refuses, absolutely refuses to make changes, to give some sort of, I don't know, acknowledgement that it doesn't work. He just wants to make it work. He wants to fix it. Do you remember?
We didn't even do it. We didn't even do this to rant about those three. We ranted. We wanted to talk about the team was in a dire space. Just lost to Cremonese. They handed them their first win in Serie A ever.
Was that why we started the podcast?
They were doing stuff, and then, you know, it's just happened that it's been 4 years of what the heck is this? So,
oh my God, you're right. That is actually what
I don't know, man.
Cremonese losses. So, I just don't understand. This is if you ask Atalanta fans, they will take a look at Roma and just be like, this is not how we ever played. You don't go through the middle. If you watched the game to the end, we had like one last possession where, like, 95th minute, the ball goes to the winger, and Roma has like 3-on-1. All of Napoli is in their box. All of Roma is in their box. We have 3-on-1 on our midfield, and our player, I forgot who it was, stops and then back passes to a defender who then side passes to Konate all the way down to the byline. And you're like, just go forward. All you have to do is just go fucking forward. Why would you stop and back pass? It's 96th fucking minute. Do you think Napoli is going to fucking pressure you at half fucking pitch? Center field, why are you stopping to back pass? All right, because the ball in our system can only go forward by going up to the side. It's just side to side. We could have signed Max Allegri to do the exact same thing. Just go side to side. But guess what? Max Allegri also would have started Pellegrini and Cristante to take the ball side to side. And we would have sucked. Look at this. Look at this. Kone is standing in the middle and nobody is looking at him. Not a single person looks at Kone to just be like, hey, go to the middle. Elanowicz, Celik, Mancini, Dybala all had the ball and all were like, I cannot pass to the guy in the middle. He's in the middle. The ball has to go sideways. Why? If you have nobody who can actually turn around and just push forward, why not put Pasilio on? He's the only player who actually does that. So why not play him? Why do you insist on going side to side? Oh, well, because we don't play players who go through the middle because we don't have any. You have one. Oh, but I cannot play him because that's not how we play. So it's a catch-22 that you are creating yourself. Whatever. We had no midfield, and this was done purposefully, willfully. Gasperini is playing this way. This is not how Atalanta played ever. So what is it? Is it the players? Why are you playing them then? Why do you insist on starting Pellegrini every big game? It's the same thing that every single Roma fan knew. It's the same thing that we talked about, 2 months ago, where Pellegrini is going to play against Lazio. He's going to score, and then he's going to play a bunch of games again because the coach will think, like, yeah, this is it. The hero of Rome is back. We all know. We all have seen it for fucking years now that Pellegrini is not it. He is not the hero of Rome. He only scores against Lazio somehow. Fortune finds a way, and that's it. So, I don't know. We're back to this shit. Baldanzi as fake striker, false nine, whatever. I don't mind it in some games because he can actually put pressure on their back line. Against teams like Napoli, I just don't see it. He's not technical. I mean, he's technical, but that's not enough to just break through their lines. You're supposed to have a Dovbik in there wrestling with two defenders to draw away the attention. Look at this. Dybala gets the ball, and we have like 9 Napoli players around Dybala immediately. That would only be 7 players if Dovbik was on. Whatever. We know what the problems are. We know what needs to happen. We need actual players who won't be handicaps. And we need culture to change, because then Pellegrini and Cristante and Mancini won't be there to yell at everybody all the time. We won't be starting every single game with handicaps. We will actually have players who can go through the side, through the middle, pass back, pass forward, long pass, anything. Whereas these players just limit and they cannot play this way. We need changes. It's just absurd that we don't have anything. Anyway,
watching this play, like, I think what's happening, which is nice, is Roma's handling business against anybody outside of the top 10, which is good.
Yeah,
that needs to happen. But it's this, like, if we this, can get
what is this? What is happening here? We're trying to attack with two players retreating into our half. It's 95-30. And two players at the ball just retreating into our own half. And everyone's like, well, come on, do something. And then Dybala tries a cross, which just doesn't even reach the 16-yard, 18-yard box, whatever.
Yep. I don't know. And then the less that can be said about this game. It's just the only thing going on right now is people. I know that there's a small minority of people. It's like, oh, can Roma get the Scudetto? Absolutely not. Not with this current team. There are too many players who are not given enough effort. And the players who are absolutely stellar and phenomenal have been playing their hearts out, and they need unfortunately, they need a break. They've been playing. It's like when they get done, they're going to have played almost 2 years straight of football, and they need to have a break. So, and the other thing is they're not going to get it because, you know, with these performances, you have Wesley is going to get called up for the World Cup. You have Indica and Elianawi getting called up for AFCON, so they're going to be gone. And it's absolutely insane. Like, the players who are doing the most need a break, and we don't have any depth or anything to replace them because Gasperini keeps playing, like, apparently the best 11. And that's all we're gonna get.
The most speed 11.
Yeah, whatever. But it's like, what the these people need. Wesley needs a break. Put in Wrench against the Pisas or the Leches of the world, so that way Wesley can get a break. He needs one. So, but it was nice. I was re-listening to some old episodes and hearing us talk about Wesley, like, and Eli and Aoi, they both have really come a long way in the last 2 to 3 months. They've absolutely picked it up a level, and it's really awesome to watch.
Everybody who has watched Roma in the past 4 games has said Eli and Aoi has cemented himself as a starter. Holy shit, is he good. In this game, he enters. He's the one breaking Napoli's possessions apart. He's the one poking the ball from behind. When Napoli players have the ball and run forward, everyone's like looking where is Nailele now because he's about to tackle them from behind. Amazing player. Absolutely fucking amazing. Holy crap, we have a good one. He's finally the thing that we all said that he would become. And Gasperini's like, no, I none of that. I need the guy who refuses to play and the other guy who cannot play and then the other guy who's just terrible and we need to kick him out. That's your midfield. The guy who doesn't want to play. Over Alan Awe and Pisili, who's giving daily interviews about how playing for Roma is his daily dream. What the fuck are you doing? I'm getting angry now. I'm actually getting angry now because I genuinely cannot overstate how much I despise watching Manu Kone play football. I'm sorry, but you've been quitting on this team for the last 2 months, and now you've actually quit on your team in the most important game of the season. Disgusting. Absolutely fucking disgusting. I want him gone. Maybe yeah. The most important game of the season. This was supposed to define us. Everybody, including Manu Kone, by the way, have said this game is going to show us where we are and what we're made of and who we are. It showed us absolutely fucking nothing about Roma that we don't already know. It's that we are weak and we fall apart at the slightest adversity and that we have absolutely no midfield once again. Gasperini, his setup, the Grillonini or whatever the fuck the assistant coach's name was, who was in charge of subs, Manu Kone, Cristante, Pellegrini, Mancini have showed once again what we already know of Roma. It is that we are dogshit, mediocre team that is trying to be somehow better. What have we done since Jose Mourinho left? We complained about the referees, we changed 4 coaches, we spent about 300 million euros in transfers. Where the fuck are we? Back at complaining to the referee about one single chance in the game that wasn't even a chance because our players didn't want to fucking sprint back. It's been 3 years. It's been 2 years.
Was that the same shit that happened? No, it was the Milan game. They hit us on the counterattack. And we're like, oh, there's nothing we could do. Nobody was there. Shut the hell up. You should have had players sprinting back. At least pick up a red card or something, trying to foul the shit out of him. What happened to the smart tactical foul? About being like the last defender back or whatever like that. Like, you should have had people trying to do something, but no, you have Pellegrini. I'm going to play a little defense and just, and then he passes back and for the give and go. And then Pellegrini's like, oh wait, he got by me. Oh shit. It was absolutely disgusting watching it. And it was on the counterattack. And you know, same thing again in the Milan game, counterattack. It's like the Gasperini ball giveth and Gasperini ball taketh away. But it would have been less of a takeaway if our players actually sprinted back and tried to do something. But it's like we were watching, and in the counterattack goal, I watched Wesley like jog back. It's like, well, out of position. You know what happened? The Napoli player was sprinted to go get the rebound. I'm like, of all the dudes, like, I get it that you're tired, but like, come on, man. Just, I got like, at the beginning of the season, we went over and I said it's going to be like 6th again or something like that. And I really hope I'm wrong. But watching 4 to 5 players just waltz around, walk around for a paycheck for 90 minutes every... It's like, what are you doing? Giving 100 in practice and then 0 in the game? It's absolutely annoying to watch.
It's the exact same playstyle and exact same core of the team that we've had since Totti retired. Since Eusebio Di Francesco days, with the exception of Fonseca, who people have hated. I maintain, I'm not talking about his strategy. I maintain he's the only coach to this day that we have had that said, Cristante and Pellegrini cannot play together. Cristante, you're going to be dropped to the bench. I'm going to start the game with this kid we got from Spanish second division and Amadou Diawara. And then the only reason that Cristante came back to play was because Mkhitaryan was injured. When Mkhitaryan came back, Cristante was no longer playing. And then he came back to play as a central defender because all of our central defenders were injured and we needed somebody in the back line. That is the only reason that Cristante has played for Fonseca. So he's the only coach we've had to say we cannot play like this. And then we played through the middle. So ever since then, it's just been finishing sixth because we don't have a midfield, because we cannot play forward, cannot go forward. All of the goals are scored by individual moments of brilliance, and that's it. Nothing else. It's just individual brilliance and no teamwork and no midfield. That is just how you describe Roma in the past, I don't know, 8 years. That has been the same thing with Ranieri. We were relying on no midfield and just getting some individual moments of brilliance to score goals for Sula, for example, for Dybala, Mancini going forward for some reason, which then continued into this season where he just refused to, or last season as well, where he refused to defend. And then that's it.
How would you Hold on. Would you like a 28-year-old striker with 11 matches, 4 goals, and an assist?
I wouldn't. Sounds
terrible. You wouldn't? That's like 2 more goals than any of our strikers.
Yeah, I know. Sounds.
And he's coming off the bench.
Who?
Borja Mayoral.
No, he does not play well against big teams.
Well, neither does the rest of our team, so he'd fit right in again.
So when you say, I don't want to say we're going to finish sixth, it's hard not to say that because we're finishing sixth every single year playing like this, playing this exact same play style. Somebody said, what if we win every single game except beat all the top 5, top 6 teams or top 4, I don't know. And they were like, well, that's 93 points. That's probably winning the league. You really think we're going to beat everybody else? Like, we've been coasting on individual brilliance. This team is still not functioning. And like we said last episode, something is happening. There are clear outlines of how Pellegrini or how Gasperini wants our team to play, and we're kind of doing it. But these type of games is exactly what breaks Roma every single time. We go on a good form, and then some shit happens and some terrible game, and then we just fall apart and go into a bad momentum, bad run of games because I don't know. Players just don't play well. It's hard to have moments of individual brilliance when the mood of the team is that the worst players on the team will yell at you and they're mediocre. And they're the ones screwing up the most anyway. It's like when Sola took the shot and then Pellegrini decided to yell at him. Like, what? You're yelling at their best player.
You had, was it against Midland? I think it was. You had Celik of all people yelling that he should have got the ball off of a Sule shot instead of a pass. Like,
I mean, just remember how De Rossi was going about. He would support everybody. He would applaud everybody. He would just be the one calming the team down, telling them like, hey, just keep on going, keep going. This, we have 3 senators who keep acting as captains and they're all just yell at our players. Like, no matter what you do, you're just bad. You're the ones finishing 6th every single fucking year. You're the ones who are mediocre, overpaid players that nobody has wanted. In the history of Roma, it's never happened that nobody wants our players. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. People who are just like, we're doing it the problem. The strikers are the problem. The strikers are always the problem. We've had 11 strikers, starting strikers in 7 years, and they've always looked the same. Oh, well, Roma always gets bad strikers. What do you think the odds are that all the strikers we get are bad or that there is a fucking problem with the team? And then when somebody says Lukaku has also looked bad, like, dude, Lukaku never looked bad. He scored an amazing amount of goals, 13. Yeah? His lowest tally in a while? Does it look like shit? I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. There was a commentator that kept saying Bokuma for one Napoli player. And I was like, did he say Pokemon? Like, who the fuck is Pokemon? Who sounds like Pokemon? And he was again, Pokemon. I was like, is he saying Bokema? He was. His name is Bokema. How do you call him Pokemon? What is that? Can't wait to play against Celtic. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Celtic are also not doing so hot. The whole Scottish
Premier League isn't doing so hot. I don't care about how they're doing in the Scottish Premier League. I want the commentators.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Alan,
I want for British Scottish commentators.
But... Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Going pretty much every Roma game in Scottish. Circling to one.
Circling back to a couple of points that you brought up. With the person saying, oh yeah, we finished with like 96 points if we lost to only the top 4 or 6, whatever. 93, because you lost to Torino. So, who says that you're going to beat all the top teams? Nobody. But you have to take you have to take care of business against the other remaining teams. And the thing that just annoys the heck out of me is for a while now, it was, oh, you know, our direct competition has lost a game, so Roma has to capitalize on that, and then Roma throws it away. This season, I've noticed the pattern. What was that?
Oh, we're just 1 point away of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, we just need Juventus or Inter or AC Milan to screw up, and we can. Oh, they screwed up today, so that we can like overtake them by a point, and then Roma just draws against Chievo Verona or something like that. But
I've started blocking everybody who starts mentioning how many points we're off whatever goal we have. I hate that so much. I don't want to read that, but, because that is something. Just I'm sorry to interrupt you, but that is something that we used to get in like match day 34. Where we're like, oh shit, 4 games to the end of the season, we're only 1 point away of fourth. Not in the third fucking round of a new season! Sorry, go on.
Yeah. Anyway, my point is that used to be, it still happens now, but it's not as prevalent this season. But this season, the big six opposition is coming into Roma, missing 17 out of their key 18 players. 1-0 loss. I'm like, I would be curious to see what Napoli or Inter or Milan would have looked like against, with their full force against Roma. We can't even take on the top four, top six teams with like depleted strength, and we're pretty healthy.
I mean,
it's absolutely sad.
Dybala is injured, Bailey is injured, Ferguson is injured, Dovbik is injured, and it's like, oh, Helenio is injured. Who cares? They don't play well anyway. Well, except on Helenio.
But
like nobody's said, oh my god, we're missing Dovbik. Like,
Yeah, it's like, oh, we could the optimism. Yeah, we could beat him. No, you can't. And we needed to take advantage of these games with them missing their players, because they might be at full strength next time. These players are not out for the season. So you have to absolutely take advantage when your opponent is injured or defenseless. And you can't even do that. It's absolutely going to come back and bite Roma later on this season. And the one veil of optimism that I have about this whole situation is this is year one of a Gasperini rebuild, and we're already doing like some pretty amazing things. We're in top four. Like this time last season, we were what, 12th, 10th? It wasn't even close. So, and to be 8 spots higher is absolutely incredible. And I feel like the talent has been there, but people need to, what was it? There was a line in Severance Milchick when he was doing he had to stop using big words. It was like, grow up. It was like, lay your foolish ambitions to rest. And they just switched it to grow up.
That's
stop your child, lay down your childish folly. is how I feel about.
Yes. Did you know that that's how I feel. Was not directing a third season?
Did I know that? No. Yes. Tell me more.
Whoa. You've only told me on two different episodes.
I know, but he's not coming back. I'll tell you the third time for the third season. There we go.
You know anyway. What? When you say we wouldn't have won, I disagree. We could have won this game. We just had to not play Cristante and Pellegrini.
We had to play not like Roma.
And apparently we had to play not Kone either because he refuses to play. So I don't know. Like when Cristante went off, he kind of started playing. But that's not enough. Yeah, I don't even know if this is a rebuild. I'm having a thought that maybe Gasperini figured that De Rossi tried to rebuild because De Rossi was the one who said, you know what, I'm just going to bench you guys. If you don't want to play well, then if you don't want to learn, that you don't want to do anything that I ask you to do, I'm going to bench you. And that's why he put on Pisili. And we were like, holy shit, this Pisili guy is not terrible. And then again, and again, and again, I was like, okay, it's been four games. Pisili is still not terrible. He's actually maybe one of our best players. What? What is happening? And he got fired. So maybe Gasperini is like, I'm not going to take him off because when you take him off, people get fired and the whole team falls apart. So I don't know. Maybe he's just doing that. Maybe he just wants organically for the team to grow. I don't get it. I don't understand. And I don't want this to continue. It is just so hard seeing this team keep on playing. I just don't like it. I don't like Cristante and Gasperini playing. They're limited, and it absolutely is their fault. I'm so tired of listening to the comments that say, like, it's not their fault, it's the strikers. There is one comment that I saw that said, basically, maybe the strikers, if they were better, if we had better strikers, our midfield would have done better. Which I saw as just refusing to take part in the monotony of us blaming the same two players every single game. And I get that. But unfortunately, it's not true. The ball has to move in the midfield, and that doesn't depend on the striker. The striker is still going to be in zone 14, one way or another. Doesn't matter how he plays, he has to be in the position of a striker. So it doesn't matter. Like it makes no difference in a midfield because our midfield does not begin by going through the middle. They're just like turn, side pass, turn, side pass, turn, side pass. Oh shit, I'm the fullback. I'm just gonna side pass it back. And they just don't go forward. So yeah, I don't know. There is not that much that a striker can do without proper service. And our midfield does not deliver any sort of proper service. Without Wesley, I don't know where it would be. So once again, we're ranting about the same thing once again, because it's hard. Everyone knows that this is the problem with Roma. Absolutely everybody knows what the problem is. Absolutely everybody knows, whether they're in denial or not, that they need to go, and we just keep doing it. We keep changing players every single year. We keep changing who plays next to them or around them, and it's the exact same results. Maybe this year we're able to beat the Minnows, smaller teams, but we're still exactly the same amount of terrible against the big teams. And yeah, I don't know. It's really hard to talk the same things over and over again. It's hard to digest.
Joshua Xerxes apparently doesn't want to go to Roma, said he's happy at United.
Yeah, no, I don't blame
good.
Him.
Good.
Anyway,
Roma Cagliari Sunday.
But I don't want anybody to get. I don't want Roma to get any strikers. I don't know. Can we figure out the midfield? We just keep like changing strikers, and we're just like, okay, they're not gonna get the ball. You can get fucking Holland. He's not gonna get the ball. He's gonna score like two goals. Didn't Fabio Silva decide to retire?
No, I think he went to somewhere. They went to the Bundesliga.
He did. Who is the player that just decided to retire in the middle of the season? I thought it was him.
No, Fabio Silva has only played 157 minutes at Borussia Dortmund. They're considering a loan move. Rui Patricio is apparently close to retiring.
Good. Don't care. Roma playing against Cagliari next season. Next week, we have finally one full week of rest. Bailey doesn't look very good. He looks like he's on his way to the Saudi League or MLS or something. And Tsimikas, not the most impressive player. I don't know. Apparently, Friedkin said that we have 30 million for the January budget. Massara said that we will do whatever it takes to improve. And if there is any room for improvement, we will do it. So, I don't know. I don't think that we will be actually getting any transfers. I don't think there's going to be much movement in January anyway. Maybe we'll try to sell some players and just bring in loans and postpone the rebuild for summer. I don't know. I just hope that at some point somebody gets smart and decides to change this roster, because we are in dire need of change. The core of this team are Svilar, Sola, Dika, I guess Kone, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. I would rather much rather sell him and never see him again. LA Naby should also be one of the cornerstones of this team. And apparently to everybody, it's perfectly fine that the cornerstone of the team are just Kone, Cristante, Pellegrini, Cristante, and Mancini once again, which I find despicable and moronic. It's just like, think about it. If your team, if your company is underperforming every single year for 8 years, and you keep changing everybody except the three managers, what is the one consistent thing that you have to blame? How are you going like, no, these guys are fine. We change everything else, but these guys, keep them. And it's the exact same result, exact same underperformance.
It's like... It's fun because I think you brought it up earlier in this episode. You have three players who, if there is any interest in them, it hasn't been brought out in public. But like everybody else, constantly linked away to Roma, these three, you know how many times a season we see Friedkins want to rebuild around Svilar and Sule and the young players of the team? It was like last season, it was Friedkins want to build around Zalewski, and it's like, what are you smoking?
I mean, but it's just news, but we also had news that Mancini was going to get a lifetime contract.
Yeah. But
great.
But these, everybody always is like wanting to buy everybody except these three players. Even Kone had interest, but it was from Inter. It's like, oh, why do you want to sell to a direct rival? But like, these three players, just nobody's interested in them. Just cancel their contracts, make them free agents, pay them out, do whatever, get rid of them. Start over. Because it's absolutely... we can't win with these cats. So...
yeah.
Anyway.
Cagliari next week. And then I think we have the Celtic game. So...
yes.
Cool.
Chipping up to Edinburgh. That doesn't have the same ring to it.
But I mean, we might have oh wait, no, never mind. I was thinking of something else. Where is this from? Ah, Braveheart. I always loved in Braveheart how Mel Gibson returned from Rome or Paris or whatever he was for education and was getting training and becoming a great soldier, and then like 2 minutes back in Scotland just covered in mud. Did he just jump off the wagon and just be like, ah, Scotland, and just like start rolling in the mud? Enough with his nice smelly clothes. Like, what the fuck? Seriously, it's like he's back and then like 2 minutes later he's just covered in mud. Yeah, whatever, can't wait for this Celtic game. I can't wait for a couple of better games from Roma where we're going to win and just be like, all right, here we go. They're going to mask bad results. We also have games against, I think, Juventus and Como from the top six. And that is when we play those. I actually cannot remember. I think Juventus is like some late December. Yeah. Oh my God. So we play Cagliari, and then we play Celtic, and then we play Como home, and then we play Juventus away. So in the next 18 days, because we're recording this on a Tuesday, December 2. So December Mutombo. In 18 days, we are going to see Roma play 3 away games and 1 home game against Como. And it's going to be also Christmas, so Roma is probably going to be like 6th or something. Whatever. Not happy. I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. Like, everyone saw Gasperini in the stands, kicking the glass, trying to break through and just yell at people and scream at people, which makes sense. But then do something about it. We've seen him just be ultra absurdly angry all game long, every single game this season so far. And by the way, the fact that he was not on the sidelines is just another Jose-like feature of Gasperini. So, speaking of a mentality where we blame the referee for just one thing, but like Gasperini was the first one that said, like, yeah, referee thing, maybe, don't know, we should have done more. I don't care about one decision. Like, we should have done more than that. I'm just saying, the fans are still very much in that mode. Anything to say? Anything to add?
December is going to be an absolute gauntlet. Roma has to win these games. There's no excuse. You have to beat Cagliari. Celtic. Yeah, if everything goes right, Roma can go get out of the playoff, which would be nice. Not expecting much, but Juventus, absolute must win. If you do it, I'll take your pick of which game against the top six that we've played so far. I'll overlook that particular game if we beat Juventus. Keenan Yildiz is an absolute phenomenon and needs to be stopped at all costs. So
it means that we're going to put Mancini on there.
Oh joy, Mancini's probably like grab his pecs or something and then he's going to score a hat trick.
I just wish we'd go into one year of rebuild. I'm okay with 1 year of rebuild because I was okay with De Rossi's choice of players and just saying, look, we're going to rebuild. It's 1-1. It's not a crisis because we need to go through a heavy process. We need to go through this actual youth and relearn how to play and change the style and change everything. And instead, we did nothing. You know what's funny? One last thing that I want to say. Atalanta players are saying that they forgot what football looks like because Juric just had them kind of go to attack and then run around and do absolutely nothing with the ball. And the instructions for attack was do something. And I'm like, that is exactly what Gasperini is doing with Roma. His instructions for attack is like, just go do something. I don't know. Whatever. I'm gonna start yelling again.
Roma Cagliari Sunday, see ya.
Didn't you work through Concord or something?
What do you mean I work through Concord?
Well, actually had something in Concord, right?
What?
You mentioned that you had to go to Concord or that one of your trains was going through there or something, right? Or no?
No, the passenger station goes through Concord. I used to go when I was going to aviation school. The main campus was in Concord, and then the airfield that we would do hangar time in was in Boxborough, Massachusetts.
And isn't Concord like the first town to start the American Revolution or something?
Yeah, the battlefield's about 5 to 10 minutes away by a car. And if you are into philosophy, Henry David Thoreau built a cabin in Concord, Massachusetts on Walden Pond and wrote the book on Walden Pond and other thoughts on civil disobedience.
That is awesome. Shout out to Concord and like band supposed to with the desperation of a soldier. My lyrics hold ya. Feel my heart beat even colder. Fighting for my rights and dogging alleys like guerrilla warfare. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack your red dawn. No time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary. Preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain. So feel me rain. Black rain. Black rain, citizen Kane, talking black rain, black rain, black rain, peace students in the game, black rain, through the struggles and the strain, black rain, elements of mine, to feel the rain from behind, black rain, peace students in the game, black rain, through the struggles and the strain, black rain, elements of mine.